broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Everyone, welcome to Pep Talk. Sharky Zartman here, and today we have an amazing man who went from being homeless and living out of a trunk to being a doctor and successful entrepreneur. His name is Dr. Tommy Watson, also known as Dr. Inspiration. We also have Denise Pancruz, the author of The Virgin Diabetic, who was told by the medical community that she could never stop taking insulin and drugs for her diabetes. But she dared to step away and reverse her diabetes on her own using holistic nutrition and no longer needs to take insulin or medications. And first up is Dr. Tommy Watson, who grew up with parents who were drug addicts and professional shoplifters. By the time he was a senior in high school, he was homeless and had lived in nearly 39 different locations. However, he went on to become one of the top collegiate football players in the nation and went on to obtain 4 college degrees. He is the author of A Face of Courage, The Tommy Watson Story, and also his most recent book, The Resilience of Champions, Secret Habits of Highly Resilient Individuals and Organizations. So welcome, Dr. Tommy.
Hey, Saki, how are you? Thank you very much for having me. It is a pleasure to be on this morning.
Well, I'm so excited to get to talk to you. I enjoyed meeting you in New York and got to read your books. And The Face of Courage, your story about your challenging childhood, I was getting really emotional. Do you have people tell you that?
You know what? Actually, I do. I was actually just speaking at a school here in Omaha, Nebraska this morning where there were several students who my story touched home for them as well. Absolutely.
Right. Well, I really can't believe that you not only survived, but now you've become such a beacon of light for others. And I know you can't talk about your whole story, but can you share a little bit of it with us?
Absolutely. You know, I grew up in a situation where my parents were heroin addicts and professional shoplifters in Denver. And, the first year I was born, my mother was arrested not once or three times, but 11 times. Well, my father actually sat in prison and spent a lot of time living in foster homes and crisis centers and motel rooms growing up as a kid, separated from my siblings. Matter of fact, I met my oldest brother by pure coincidence in a foster home in second grade. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty mind-blowing experience doing that. Kicked out of homes in front of our friends, lived in a motel room, 7 different motel rooms, and one being 10 by 16 feet when I was in eighth grade with 9 people. And, you know, was really blessed to stay involved in sports. Sports really kept me out of a lot of trouble, even in the midst of when I was in attorney gangs in third grade. My aunt got me involved in sports, and sports was my saving grace.
Right.
And did that throughout high school, and even in the midst of being homeless as a senior in high school, I kept the hope that someday I was going to make it to the NFL and do great things. That kept me going in tough times.
Right.
And like I said, went on to play football at the University of Minnesota, the Big Ten, and still received an injury that ended my career and had to revert back to being resilient again and figuring out what my path and purpose in life was, which was to inspire other people to be great and
right.
do good things.
Well, you're doing an amazing job, let me tell you. I would love to attend one of your speeches where you share your story, especially.
I'll definitely let you know when I'm out in the area there.
Yeah, let me know. One of the things that kind of, affected me was when you said when you were in the third grade, your goal was to join this local gang and become the leader. Why?
Yes. Well, at that time, I'd lived in probably, it must have been five or six different foster homes, lived with my grandmother several times, lived in different schools. My mother and father went to prison a number of times, so I was seeking some type of connection, a sense of belonging, and I didn't have it at home. So naturally what happens to a lot of young men, a lot of young people in those situations, they begin to seek it outside the household. And for me, what was in front of me at that time was the local gang that was emerging in Denver, Colorado at the time, and it seemed very attractive. There were a lot of young men who were going towards that direction. They seemed to be having some type of bond with themselves, and it became very attractive, and I was hurting. And, you know, I said, this is a place, this is something I want to do. But luckily, I was living with my aunt, and she recognized that I was seeking that male role model, and she got me involved in basketball. I wasn't a good basketball player early on. However, being involved in sports kept me out of a lot of trouble. But that yearning to belong to something really, really pulled me towards that direction of a gang. Thank God I never got involved in it, because I certainly, with my drive, I would have certainly been a leader in the gang in a short period of time.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Well, thank goodness. Thank goodness for your aunt that she got you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, great. How were you able to get through high school and get good enough grades and be able to compete in your sport with when your personal life was so challenging?
Wow, you know, that was absolutely amazing. You know, 1 year prior to going into high school, I was actually living in a motel room with eight other people.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting this high school football coach at this high school, came to talk to me and my comrades in the inner cities about the chance to go out to this high school and play sports and ultimately do well. And I got very, very excited about that opportunity. And my parents were not supportive of me going out to high school, so they didn't go back to prison, into my 3 year school. I moved in with my grandmother, who eventually developed Alzheimer's disease, and I was a junior in high school. But the folks in my high school were pretty amazing in the sense that their philosophy was they couldn't change anything in my neighborhood. But if I got to school each day, which I took three city buses one way to high school each day, starting at 6:30 in the morning, they would take care of the rest in terms of getting me a quality education and getting me involved in sports. And my high school football coach and a teacher by the name of Sister Brendan upheld their end of things. And it kept me motivated to keep going, because that high school became the most steady place in my life for those 4 years, and I was in such transition. It was a happy place for me. I had supportive teammates. And again, I continued to see that education component being a critical piece of my future. So I was not going to let that die despite what I was going through. I was able to run the high school and keep the hope that education was going to be the turning point for me. So in the midst of all the challenging times, I relied heavily on my best friend who knew my situation. No one else really knew my situation other than a couple of teachers and a coach. But other than that, I really just stayed honed in on the fact that I wanted to go to the NFL.
Right.
And education was going to be a part of that.
Right. Well, when you went off to college, in your book you said that you had a trunk with all of your belongings, and you didn't even have an address to give them.
Right. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And, you know, it blew the minds of many of the coaches. You know, my story was very similar to Michael Orr with the movie The Blind Side.
Right. It reminded me of that.
Yes. Very, very similar to it. And I got to the University of Minnesota, and I literally sat down with the academic counselor to seek out additional financial aid, and that's when my story became revealed to the University of Minnesota in terms of the severity. So I really literally didn't even have a home address. There was no legal guardian. My grandmother, who was my last legal guardian, was actually in a nursing home suffering from Alzheimer's disease, which she had been suffering from, you know, for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally didn't even have a home address, no legal guardian, so I had to go through a whole separate route to create a system for me to file to be independent at the University of Minnesota to get additional financial aid, which was a system that they didn't even have in place at the time. So they had to create a system, get approval from the NCAA for me to be granted the status of independence to get additional financial aid. So it was certainly life-changing. It was also tough, Sharky, you know, even going back home during breaks and vacations. Oftentimes my teammates would laugh at me for riding the Greyhound bus home back home to Denver from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But what they didn't know, the Greyhound bus, it took me 24 hours to get there from Minneapolis to Denver. I knew I had two nights to sleep somewhere during my break.
Mm-hmm.
The other times, it was going to be scattered. I was sleeping over here, sleeping over there. But I knew for sure, taking the Greyhound bus back home to Denver, I had two nights to at least lay my head in a seat and have a stable place to rest during that time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But you had a good 4 years, though, in college, right?
I did. You know, things were going very, very well until I received a back injury my junior year of college. And again, my dream went bye-bye really quickly, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And I had to pick up a new dream, again, because I was not going back to the situation I had left in Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And that's when my mentality shifted towards education and how education was now going to be a part of that, and sports was no longer part of the dream, which was tough to give up because, you know, when you're tied to sports that long and that dream goes bye-bye, it's a tough breakup.
Right. Well, I understand you have 4 college degrees. Why did you... Most people don't even get 1. Why did you get 4?
You know what? So my first undergraduate degree was in housing and community development. I learned the power of education being my way out. A second degree, I went on to get a degree in education administration. My third degree is an advanced graduate degree in K-12 administration. And I have a doctor of education and leadership with an emphasis in organizational change. Mm-hmm. So education was going to be my safety net. There was no safety net for me whatsoever. And so I was wanting to capitalize on every opportunity I could to advance myself and maximize my education.
Well, good for you. I understand that you were principal at a school for a while. Is that correct?
Yes. And I love those little ones. I miss them. And I was a principal for about 4 years in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Had a high poverty school. And I was able to take a lot of the things that I had gone through so I could grow up in Denver and inspire those things into my students and also the families and also my teachers as well. And we ended up going on to be one of the top schools in the district there despite the poverty. And we also had one suspension in my building the entire last year of my school and the school year. And I went on and got on a horse for my students. I don't do horses often, but that one time I was an exception. I got on the horse. I don't do it. Well, last time we catch on a horse. Great time for those students, though.
Well, good for you. One of the stories that you have in your book, you talk about getting fired from a job mm-hmm. and going to job fairs. I guess you went to 3 of them. And, you know, the frustration that you endured. And, you know, that must have been hard because you have had a college degree, and I think you were expecting people to reach out to you, and that didn't happen, right?
Absolutely. You know, we're told oftentimes that education should open up all kinds of doors for us and, you know, give the perception that things should be easy for us. But when you lose a job, that can be a life-changing moment for most individuals, you know, whether it be whether you have a family or being single. And I literally lost my job one day, and it was all gone, and went to these job fairs expecting, you know, everyone to reach out to me and offer me these great jobs, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But there was one guy who continued to follow me from job fair to job fair, and each job fair he followed me at, I said, no, there's no way I'm going to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I have a college degree.
I was cracking up.
Stop following me.
Yeah. But you eventually took him up on his offer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was no doors opening up to me, and McDonald's began to look like a very, very great opportunity coming at third job here. I wasn't quite sure what I was getting into at the time, Sharky, but that McDonald's experience ended up being the best job ever.
And why is that?
You know what? McDonald's has a great management leadership training program that walks you through step by steps in terms of what it takes to be a great leader. And one of the things that allows you to do as a leader is to make mistakes. Many jobs, when you begin to make mistakes in leadership, they become points for you to get demerits or even head out the door. McDonald's gave me a chance for 2 years to develop myself as a leader, to develop other people. I learned about accounting. I learned about balancing books. I learned about developing people, hiring people. And it just became just an awesome experience, marketing, advertising. And I ended up winning the leadership award 2 years later as a result of just going through this training program, learning to speak Spanish. It was just an amazing experience, amazing program. And I still use a lot of those leadership skills today in my own personal business, as I did as a principal as well. You know,
right.
I was never a school teacher or an assistant principal, nor did I work at the central office, but because of my leadership skills that I obtained from McDonald's, I was able to elevate myself through the school system pretty quickly and become a school principal based on what I learned at McDonald's, absolutely.
Good for you. You have a story in there that I just cracked up when you had that customer at McDonald's that was just obnoxious, and you were trying so hard to be stoic and deal with them, but you kind of let him have it, didn't you?
Yeah, he kept calling me the fry guy and burger guy. You know,
yeah.
Oftentimes, oftentimes I don't know that people really realize how hard people work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
They work to serve in any of those customer service positions. They work really, really hard to make sure you take care of. Some of them come in from struggling days, but they have to put a smile on their face. And this guy just kept calling me hamburger guy and fry guy. He had no respect for me at all. And I was just freshly into the business as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of lost it and told him to get out of the restaurant.
Right. But you know what I loved about that is you took responsibility for that in front of your employees.
Yes.
I mean, you basically told him that you lost it and you were wrong. And I thought that was very courageous of you to do.
Absolutely. You know, because in leadership, you know, we lose it sometimes. And some of your best leaders are those ones who tend to be transparent. I mean, one of the things that make Oprah a great leader is her transparency. And Bill Gates' transparency as well. I talk about them both in the book, Resilience Champions. But as leaders, we have to be transparent, whether it be with our families or in business or as employees when we make mistakes. And, you know, let people know that we've made a mistake and own up to it and then figure out how to do it differently the next time.
Right. Well, good for you. In your book, The Resilience of Champions, you talk about 7 habits of highly resilient individuals and organizations.
Yes.
I'd like you to share your favorite with us. But before you do, how did you find these habits?
You know, the habits evolved from my own personal experience. You know, I kept getting people asking me over and over again over the years, hey, what did you learn from growing up in that situation, Dr. Watson? What did you learn? So I sat down and began to research, in addition to looking at my own personal experience, I identified 6 habits of highly resilient individuals. And over the years, each of those habits were showing itself not only with me, but other great leaders and individuals as well. So the habit that's probably said closest to me over the years has been the importance of being a broker of hope, because
mm-hmm.
oftentimes we go through tough times. It seems like our whole world is crashing down on us, and we're seeing things that are negative coming from all angles, and we oftentimes forget that we have the power to create our own reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we have to begin to envision what we want that outcome to be.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, you know, even when I was in my situation growing up as a kid, I always dreamed of great things happening for me. When I left my job as a principal 6 years ago, there were many people telling me that, you know, hey, your business is not going to work out, it's going to fail and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really believe in myself and really have hope that things are going to work itself out. And the acronym I use for hope is having only positive expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So any situation that was negative, I kept away from me in all situations and plugged away. And, you know, 6 years later, I'm now running a multi-million-dollar business because I believed in myself and had a big dream and didn't stop and let anyone stop me from doing it.
Good for you. And with each of these habits, you share some other people and how they did these habits. And my 3 favorites were Bill Gates, Mary Kay, Ash, and Oprah. And
yeah.
I love how you spun them into your habits. Can you
yeah.
share what your favorite one with us and how they used your habits?
Absolutely. You know, we see Oprah as being this big star right now. And we don't realize that Oprah was actually fired from one of her first gigs. And she was fired because the producers felt that she was too emotional when it came to her stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that became an asset for Oprah in terms of being resilient. And they put her in a situation where she was in one of the most failing shows in Baltimore. And because of her knowing who she was as a person, she was able to use that to connect very well with her audience, and she had one of the top rating shows in Baltimore, and then eventually on to Chicago. You know, Mary Kay Ash, oftentimes we see women being turned down for jobs after jobs after jobs, which was the case for her. So what she did was said, you know, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop pursuing your jobs. I'm going to create my ideal or my perfect job for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that and did some very special things, and now her company is all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gates, a gentleman who was at the top of his game, and, you know, people thought that he should have stayed with Microsoft But one day he decided to step away and do what he loved doing, which was philanthropy. Mm-hmm. So now he and his wife, Belinda, they give millions and millions of dollars away each year. And that's a critical component of being highly resilient as well. You have to be a care. You have to take care of yourself. You have to know what's important to you, what's special to you, and stay true to it no matter what. And I give Bill Gates a lot of credit for being able to step down from a role in which he has been the richest man in the world to continue to follow his dreams of making a difference in our world. And it wasn't just about consumption, but making a difference. So highly resilient people do all the time.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, Tommy? We're just about out of time. So can you please tell us what your website is and where we can find your books?
Absolutely. Again, thank you very much for having me on. You can go to www.tawatson.com. And my book is Resilience of Champions and A Face of Courage. And what I'll even offer to your listeners today, those folks who go into my website and provide your email address, I'll give you the first copy, the first chapter of my book free when you go on and do that. So definitely extend that offer to your audience and listeners.
Well, awesome. But you are so inspirational. You really are. And thanks for getting your message out to people who, you know, like you said, they're in these situations. They feel like they have no hope, no direction. And, you know, your story is amazing. And the fact that you've accomplished so much in your life. So
thank you very much. And I just encourage people to keep going. Don't give up. Keep fighting, keep fighting, keep fighting.
Okay. Keep fighting, keep fighting. Okay. Love it. Okay. Thanks again, Tommy.
Thank you for having me on now.
Okay, we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
For more than 20 years, Homeboy Industries has made a difference in the lives of former gang members and at-risk youth in Los Angeles. Their free programs and services have given hope and opportunity to thousands and their signature businesses, Homeboy Bakery, Homegirl Cafe and Catering, Homeboy Silkscreen and Embroidery, and Homeboy Merchandise, offers hands-on training in a safe work environment. Donate to Homeboy today and help them continue their important work. To find out more, call 323-526-1254 or visit online at www.homeboy-industries.org. South Bay Saturdays, catch the best of 7, the best of the HealthyLife.net news at 7, 1 p.m. Pacific Time Saturdays, only on HealthyLife.net Radio.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for Shark to Heart. And we just got to listen to Dr. Tommy Watson and his tips for resilience. And if you missed it, don't worry. It'll be in the archives for the next 3 months. An amazing man, an amazing story. But today, on Shark to Heart, I want to talk about another important principle that I think is really imperative for success in any area of life, and that's the power of accountability. Tommy told us a story about when he was working at McDonald's and he was one of the managers, and one of the customers was just calling him the fry guy. And when you read the story, I mean, this guy was obnoxious, and Tommy was trying to, you know, just, you know, manage him, and then he lost it. He kicked the guy out, you know, he yelled at him. And the cool thing about this story is that he accepted, you know, the responsibility for his actions in front of his employers or employees. He said that it was his fault, he shouldn't have done it. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about, the power of accountability, because a lot of this is not taught, or at least not learned by a lot of people. We're so used to shoving off responsibility for our actions and choices onto other people and other situations. And when we were kids, I mean little kids, we tested our environment a lot to see what we could get away with. And probably the earliest we started doing this was when we were about 2 years old. And so we don't remember, but I'm sure if we talk to our parents will tell us, oh yeah, you did that a lot. My little grandson is 2.5 years old, and, you know, he's typical two-year-old. He's a great little kid, but he tests his environment sometimes. And we had him over to our place a few days ago, and he loves to watch this little movie, Paddington. I don't know if any of you have it, but it's about this bear, and he wears this red hat, and he goes on this journey. And our little grandson just loves this movie. And so, but he was sitting there watching it with my husband, and we have this orange chair. It's a swivel rocker, and it's kind of unsteady. And so Calvin gets up and starts jumping on the chair. And my husband goes, Calvin, you need to sit down. You can't jump on the chair. So he sat down, and then he got this little look on his face, and he got up, and he started doing it again. And so my husband goes, Calvin, sit down, or I'm going to turn off the bears. And so he sat down, and third time, he got up and started jumping up and down, and my husband turned off the bears and turned off Paddington. And Calvin just went ballistic. I want the bears! I want the bears! I want the bears! And my husband explained to him, no, you did something that was could be dangerous. You could have fallen off, hurt yourself. And so he didn't let him see the bears again, for at least for that day. And it was really funny because when I was taking him home back to his house, because I had picked him up from school, too, and he had spent, you know, most of the day at school. I said, so what did you learn today? And he goes, don't jump on the orange chair. Because he knew that there were consequences. He was accountable for that action. And, you know, my husband and I are both teachers, and so we work with a lot of students. Most of our students are really nice, but, you know, we have class requirements. Our students need to do certain things in order to get a certain grade, in order to pass. And unfortunately, we have some kids that don't get it. Some kids just think, oh, well, if I show up and don't cause any problems, I'll pass or I'll get an A. And that's not true. I had a student a while back, you know, I teach activity classes at the college, and they're, you know, I mean, these are one-unit classes, and so they're transferable credits. It's not recreation. So these people have to do the class requirements in order to get a certain grade. Well, I had this one woman who was very sporadic with her attendance and, you know, just kind of aloof, and towards the end of the semester, I said, Mary, you haven't been here very often. You've missed some assignments. I think you should drop the class because you're probably not going to pass. And she goes, oh, Mrs. Zartman, please don't drop me. I promise I'll do everything. I'll make up everything. And just please don't drop me. I need this class. And so I didn't. I didn't drop her. She didn't come back. And so when I was tallying up her points, she had like 250 out of 500 points. And by any point scale, that is an F. And so she got an F in the class. About 3 weeks after the grades came out, I hear this bang on my office door. Bang, 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 bang. And I open it up, and there's Mary. And she goes, how could you? I go, how could I what? And she goes, how could you give me an F? And she goes, I'm a 4.0 student. And I go, Mary, I didn't give you an F. I go, you earned an F. And you're not a 4-point student anymore because you failed an activity class. And she goes, well, what can I do? And I go, you can take it again. And then the F will come off your transcript. And so I don't know whether or not she did. If she did, she didn't take it with me, that's for sure. So, you know, so that's just, you know, an example. Some of these students just, you know, they're not accountable. They just think they can get away with things. I went to a workshop a while back, and this was on new weight loss products, supplements, you know, kind of gimmicks. And so there were a lot of health professionals and trainers in the audience, and people would come out and they would present their product and, you know, how we could use it for our clients or students, whatever. And the funny one was the belt that did 2,000 sit-ups for you, you know. I mean, it's you know, little contractions. I thought that was hilarious. But one guy stood up in front of everybody, goes, I don't have any supplements, I don't have a belt, I don't have any gimmicks, but I do have something that works. Have your client stand in front of the mirror, take all their clothes off, take a good look, and say, I am responsible for this, and I'm the only person who can fix it. And that was it. He stopped talking. And people were booing. They were throwing their protein bars at him. You know, nobody wanted to hear that. But I thought, wow, that is so empowering. I mean, basically, instead of us depending on pills or other people to fix us, he's saying, take responsibility for your life, for your health. If you don't like something, you can change it. And so I really thought he was amazing. And remember, the accountability factor never goes away. You know, we see it in all areas of our life, in our careers, if we're athletes, you know, as kids, as students. But, you know, a lot of people feel like, well, when their career is over, you know, they can just kind of slide. And trust me, as you get older, you have to be accountable. Because when we were younger, I don't know about you, but most of us could get away with things like pulling all-nighters, partying. I remember we used to party our team and then go play tournaments the next day and, you know, just, you know, trash our bodies. And, you know, but as you get older, you can't do that anymore. It's kind of like you've got to, like my friend Frank says, you play. You pay. So remember, we can take charge of our health and be accountable like our lives depend on it. Because honestly, they probably do. And so we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. Did you know that 29 million Americans live with diabetes and 86 million more are pre-diabetic? Well, next up is Denise Pancruz, a coach, speaker, and the author of The Virgin Diabetic, Learning to Live with Diabetes. Now, Denise was diagnosed with diabetes and told by her doctors that she would need to take insulin and medications for the rest of her life. But Denise decided to go another direction. She got certified in holistic nutrition and has reversed her diabetes and no longer takes insulin. And she's now helping others reverse diabetes with the nutrition miracle that saved her life. So welcome, Denise.
Hi. Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be on today.
Well, I'm so happy that I met you because your story sounds very much like my daughter's story. Can you tell us what happened when you were diagnosed with diabetes? Was it a shock?
You know, I have to tell you.
No?
I was like millions of other people who pretty much, I was in denial for about the first 3 years. I knew my glucose levels were increasing, and I thought, you know, I'm going to watch a little bit what I eat. I'll get back to exercising a little bit. Unfortunately, it was just a little bit too late.
Mm-hmm.
So when I landed in the hospital with a pancreatitis attack and pneumonia, that's when I got diagnosed. So sugar level of 410.
Whoa.
Cholesterol was over 700. Triglycerides over 7,000. It was incredible. I'm surprised they didn't land in the hospital earlier.
Wow. Those numbers are shocking. I can't believe that it didn't kill you.
Me either, but apparently there was a reason, as my husband keeps saying, you know, when things don't work out quite the way we want them to, there is a reason for it, and which is today why I feel so incredibly passionate about teaching others to learn from what I went through and apply it and be able to be healthy, because diabetes, for some reason, we don't take as seriously as we do like cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can at least speak for myself. I think it's because it takes so many years to get to that point. We don't realize the importance of what it means to not be diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is about the food that we're eating and our lifestyles. But once you hit a certain point, what I found with myself and with many others that I've coached is you can't do just a little bit. Once you're diagnosed, you really need to think about making some major changes. And it's a difficult thing to think about because we all think we know how to eat healthy. And there's a lot of hidden ingredients in many of the foods we eat that almost sabotage what we try to do.
Okay. You know, what was interesting about your diagnosis is that you originally were diagnosed as type 2, and then they said it was type 1.5 or 1.5. And that happened, same thing happened with my daughter. And I had never heard of type 1.5 or 1.5 diabetes. Can you explain what that is?
You know, I have to tell you, that was the first time I ever heard it myself as well. And a little bit of what my doctor explained to me is I really was not responding to the medications and the insulin as quickly as the medical community would expect a diabetic to respond. And so when you're a type 1, you know, you don't really have, you have either a tiny bit or really no insulin that's being produced.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally at the very, very bottom of what a normal reading would be for producing insulin, and he really thought I would never be able to come off of insulin ever again, that I would absolutely be on it. Every diabetes educator I even went to told me, oh, honey, it's going to increase as you get older. Your meds, you're going to have more meds, your dosages will increase. And I thought, how can the body just stop responding? And that really scared me. And our bodies really can be like a miracle machine sometimes. If we can do the right thing and figure it out, our bodies have an amazing ability to heal if we allow it to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided that I was done with the roller coaster ride, when you're on insulin, for anyone who's never been on it, your glucose levels are like a roller coaster ride. Mm-hmm. So if you don't eat the right thing, obviously your glucose levels can spike way up. Then if you think you're doing a good thing by exercising after you eat or before you eat, and you're combining that with an insulin shot and you're combining it with oral medication, your body just cannot adapt quick enough depending on what you're doing every moment of the day. And that's when I became very, very scared that I knew enough that that was very unhealthy. And that's one of the reasons that diabetics typically lose 10 years off of their life, because it's so hard on the body. And that's where I was very determined to figure out what the problem was.
Okay. So you decided to use food, and you made the decision also that you didn't want to take insulin anymore. So how did you discover what kinds of foods would be healing in your situation?
Well, when I first started out, I knew one of the root causes of diabetes is going to be food.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend introduce me to a local chiropractor out in Wheaton, Illinois, where I was living at the time. And she said, you know, he's helped some people with diabetes. You may want to talk to him. So I went along to talk to Dr. Myers, and he said, sure, we can definitely get you going. And I'm like, well, how long do I have to be on this diet? He said, could be 6 months, a year, maybe even the rest of your life. And I thought at that point I had nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was being taught at that time is processed foods are really a killer to our system. Not only causing diabetes, but thyroid, cancer, high blood pressure. It could contribute to arthritis. So many things that food really could heal. And I learned, as much as I liked vegetables, I was not eating nearly enough of vegetables. And so I learned that I needed to even add them into my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So any vegetables that you would normally eat for a lunch or a dinner, those are things I started introducing into my breakfast. My husband and I actually will sometimes we'll have a good, healthy omelet, and we'll also make a green smoothie and have that instead of like a juice, an orange juice or a grapefruit juice. So we've eliminated all juices and what you would typically buy at a store when I say juices. And we make our own green smoothies or our own protein shakes that are very, very low in sugar, have a lot of fiber. And we want to do that on a daily basis. So you can't just eat fresh foods once in a while. It needs to be part of every single meal every day.
Okay. All right. Good advice. We're going to take a short break, Denise, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the holiday season coming up, because I know a lot of times people with diabetes have a real heart problem with this time of year. And a few other things, especially how we can prevent diabetes in our children, okay?
Perfect.
All right, we'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic and expensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret, now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and we're here with Denise Pancruz. She's a coach, speaker, and the author of The Virgin Diabetic. And we've been talking about how you found out you were diabetic, Denise, and the fact that you decided you did not want to take insulin for the rest of your life, and you turned to the power of food. One of the questions that I had when I found out that you did this, what do your doctors think of you reversing your diabetes with nutrition?
Okay, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
One of my doctors, when I told her that what I was doing, and we reran a test to see if I was producing any insulin after I made this miraculous transformation with food, eating fresh foods, her comment was, "I have no idea how you got to improve that."
Wow.
And that was from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to say that particular doctor, I actually stopped seeing. My other doctor, he thought I could be a poster child for diabetes now, because when I walked in his office after being hospitalized, he was shocked that I actually took it seriously and was so happy, because most patients don't make the huge change like I did.
Right, right. Now, do you still check your blood sugar every day?
I do still check it, just to make sure things are still on point. I still get an annual blood test on my hemoglobin A1C.
Right.
So that's the test that will measure your average glucose over a period of 60 to 90 days. And that kind of helps keep me in check to make sure I'm continuing to move forward and there isn't anything that's hidden going on that maybe I would not be aware of.
Okay. Now, do you think that your nutritional program, I know it works for you, but because of the bio-individuality, do you think it will work for others as well?
I can tell you, yes, it can. The minimum that could happen with someone is they would drastically improve their health, and that would be, you can validate through lab testing, you can validate through literally how you feel and how your energy level is and how well you're sleeping these days. I have a gal that I'm working with, within literally weeks, she was taking 16 units of insulin at every meal. And we've got her down to 5 units right now.
Okay.
At every meal. And her evening time or nighttime dosage for insulin has also been reduced by about 20 units. So she is continually moving in that right direction.
Okay. So it's not a sudden stop. You don't just say, okay, no more insulin. You taper it off, right?
Correct. You have to taper it off. And we really have to watch it because it also includes how much activity are you now bringing into your life. So
mm-hmm.
if you're doing more exercise, that may help you to reduce the amount of insulin you need,
mm-hmm.
Depending on the foods that you're choosing. So it's a combination of everything. You have to be very careful with the process.
Right. Yeah, I know people that take insulin have to be careful about their exercise, correct?
That's absolutely correct. And, you know, a lot of folks can wind up in the ERs from hypoglycemia, where their blood sugar is too low. And that's what happened to me a few times. And, you know, if I can give one piece of advice, check your glucometers. Many times they are about 10 points too high. And so you may show a glucose level of maybe 55 or 60, and you find out it could be 10 points lower than that, and that can be very dangerous.
Right, right. Yes, okay. Let's talk about the holiday season, because it's hard for the normal person who doesn't have diabetes to try and get through this without, you know, eating all these kinds of sugary, you know, fun treats that are out there and drinks. So how do you work with your clients to navigate through the holidays and stay healthy?
Well, and anything that I ask my clients to do, I do the same thing. So I'll never ask anyone to do something I wouldn't be willing to do.
Oh, good for you.
And I'll tell you, there's such an unknown when you go to these holiday parties. I always have something to eat before I leave home. So it may be a protein smoothie. It may be a veggie, a green smoothie. It may be just something I've prepared and had some leftovers here with some vegetables, good protein. It could be a handful of mixed nuts, but you have to have something, because if you walk into any room that has a ton of food and 90% of it is not something that you can eat,
mm-hmm.
you're going to do what everyone else does and you're just going to start eating. And so I switch the gears and talk about you're there to socialize and use that as your excuse not to eat and find things that are going to be fresh. So a lot of times you can find something like a shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
You can find an appetizer tray that has fresh veggies,
mm-hmm.
Berries on it. Those are always good things to pick. Anything that's chicken, anything not fried. You don't want anything coated in flour. And you really want to watch those dips. So the dips have a lot of hidden ingredients in there, hidden sugars, bad fats.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to love that stuff, it can happen, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And stay away. Thanksgiving's around the corner. I hate to say it. Stay away from the stuffing.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Yeah, that's tough.
But
once you get used to it, it really becomes second nature. It doesn't really become that tough anymore when you make that your new lifestyle.
Okay.
So I'm Italian. It took me several months to get through the process before I lost my cravings.
Mm-hmm.
People can do it in a shorter period of time. I was a tough cookie. But I'll tell you, today I can walk right by the stuffing. I can pass up the mashed potatoes and eat all of the other good food that's available and feel better than anyone else after having that huge Thanksgiving meal. While everyone's sleeping, I'm usually wide awake now.
Well, good, good. You know, one situation that we have going on, type 2 diabetes with kids. Now, that used to be called adult onset diabetes, but we're seeing a lot of young kids now with type 2 diabetes. How can we prevent this in our children?
You know, I find, and even with my grandchildren, they're very busy. They're all in sports and activities. And what do the parents do? We're going to run through a drive-through to feed the kids before we get them to basketball, baseball, football,
mm-hmm.
what have you. And so really what I advocate now is get one of those little lunch packs and throw some good, healthy snacks in there. You know, throw some mixed nuts. You know, the kids can have things with raisins that have a little bit of sugar in them. That won't hurt them if they're not diabetic. But throw fresh apples, a banana. Throw in some fresh veggies, things that are easy to port around. They're easy to carry. I even do it when I'm out shopping during the day and I may not have time to stop. I always carry a little lunch pack, throw a little ice pack in there, and it's something I can munch on while I'm driving around too.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always pre-cook your meals as well.
Right.
So
right.
If you're in a hurry, you're running around all the time, pre-cook some of your entrees in advance, and then you at least can do a quick warm-up and run out the door, and you know that you're having something nutritious. So those are the two easy things that you can do.
Okay, perfect. And Crock-Pot's good, too, right?
So. I use it all the time,
yeah.
Yes.
Good, good. Okay, well, you know what? We are just about out of time, Denise, so please tell us what your website is and where we can get your fabulous book.
Oh, great. My website is reversemydiabetes.net, and my book is available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and Tate Publishing.
Oh, okay. I thought it was The Virgin Diabetic. That's the book
The book is The Virgin Diabetic.
Okay.
And the website is called reversemydiabetes.net.
Okay, got you. Okay, just wanted to make sure I got the title of the book right. And where else can we buy the book besides your website?
Through Amazon.com.
Okay.
Through BarnesandNoble.com. And then also you can contact me through my website and at my publisher, TatePublishing.com.
Okay, perfect, perfect. You know, I read your book on the way home on the plane, and I'm going, oh, gosh, I got to book this gal. This is good stuff. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It was awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay, and we'll be back with more Pep Talk and wrap it up right after this.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an ebook, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my amazing guests, Dr. Tommy Watson and Denise Pancruz. Remember, if you joined us late, you can always go to the archives where the shows are available for 3 months for immediate listening and downloads. Until next time, I'm Sharky Zartman, and remember that you are in charge of your life and health, no one else. And here's to your inner shark.